Okay, good morning. We're starting. Hilchos Shefas, Lamed Tet. Okay. Let's start with Yud. Se'if Yud. Today we're going to learn what a sirecha really is, like more lamaisa and practical with the lungs. So let's see. Yud. Kol makom she'asru sruchat hareya. Any place where we see that there's a sircha in the rea, right? We're talking about the places that are a problem. Now we're getting into the more nitty-gritty of you find a sircha that's a problem, right? We already learned there's some sirchot, no problem whatsoever. If it's kesidron, and there's other, we learned some of the details already, when it's no problem. Now we're discussing where there is a sircha that's a real problem, it'll make it a real trefa. It doesn't matter if the sircha is as thin as a hair. A sircha is a sircha. It doesn't matter, again, it doesn't matter how thin it is. It doesn't matter how thick it is, even if it's as thick as a thumb. Or maybe we'll call it 2 centimeters. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter how thick it is and how thin it is. Velo keotam shemachim biyad, and it's the lacha doesn't. You can't just. What's the question? Is how mash it, crush it, or rub it so much that it falls apart? Ve'im lacha tolim lahakel, and so there are people who. We're talking about shochtim, right? Votkim, shochtim, it's pretty much the same word, I think, in the olden days, but same person. But nowadays, you have the shochet, the bodek pnim, and bodek chutz, and they're generally all different people. And you have a line of different ones doing the same, you know, a rotation. Anyways, so there are people, if you take a sircha that we said makes it a trefa, they would rub it with their fingers, or perhaps their nails, or we're going to see that people would use an object, sand or something, to make it easier to dissolve, right? That's the difference of toothpaste versus water when you brush your teeth. There's some grits in there. Besides the fluoride, that's what makes it easier to remove the plaque that's on your teeth. So anyways, you can't use any of these things to break up a sircha. V'chola nohe ken k'ilu ma'achil trefot li'Yisrael. Anyone who's going to say it, take a sircha and turn it in not to a sircha, or call it a sircha tuluya or whatever, by breaking it apart, right? No one's going to have the halami to take a scissor, but it's basically you're doing the same thing with your fingers, is you're breaking apart a real sircha. Anyone who does that, is you're taking something that's a trefa and you're giving it to the people to eat.
It's now, ke'ilu.
Okay. Ke'ilu. Because it depends. It depends what kind of sircha, it depends how much you do it. Anyways, you're not actually sticking it into his mouth. Okay, whatever. The ke'ilu, very good. So this lashon comes from the Rashba. So everyone quotes the Rashba, the Tur and Beit Yosef and so on. The Rashba is the one who writes about it, apparently the most outspoken against this custom. Okay. We're going to keep reading. Oh, hold on.
Is anybody who's okay with it?
So let's finish Yud Gimel and we'll try and hopefully I'll be able to piece it all together. If you look in, fine, we might as well mention it now. There is something called, it's brought down Shachtaz, or it's all over the place, something called Nanua. You're allowed, according to the Beit Yosef himself, you're allowed to do a Nanua of the lung. Before you check it, you do some kind of shaking of the lung. Then, everyone agrees, if it's a sircha that just falls right off, it's not a problem. Okay? In other words, some people think, the layman, and many people, think that every sircha is a problem. That's completely false. There are sirchas, first we learned, it depends where the sircha is. Okay, but that we're beyond that. Now we're talking about the sircha itself. You have a sircha in a place that'll make it a trefa. Not all sirchas are the same. Some sirchas don't make it a trefa at all. And then generally, Belashon Chazal, they call it a rear, kind of like just some mucus. And it doesn't have the same din. Okay, it may or may not look the same. Again, a sircha could be like a very, very thin membrane. It could be something that's very fibrous, kind of like a. So it depends what it's, or it could be. Anyways, anywhere in between is a sircha. They're not all created the same. Anyway, so the issue of the nanua, so the marshal says we can use it, and the minhag is to use it by behemagasa, but basically, the Beit Yosef doesn't bring it in the Shulchan Aruch, and none of the and all the poskim follow. We don't know what nanua is anymore. We don't know how to do it. We don't know what it was. So therefore, it's out of the picture. So therefore, you don't see it in the Shulchan Aruch, and you don't see it l'maisa. Okay, let's keep reading. Yud Aleph. Yesh mi shekatav shemachnis etzpa'o tachat ha-sircha. So some write that you're allowed. It's kozik from the Kobo, but this is the halacha. You're allowed to put your fingers under the sircha, umagbiya ktsat, and you're allowed to lift it up a little bit. Im nifsakam machman takba kol shuhu. Again, you're not pulling on the lung; you're just lifting up on the sircha gently, and let's say it comes off, it breaks. So then we call that a sircha bat yomahi. We call that a sircha of less than a day. Ukshera, and this is 100% kshera. Ve'en lahakel b'kach ela b'mehemat Yisrael, but you could only be makel with this kula of lifting it up and seeing if it falls apart or dissolves with the behemat Yisrael, because it's going to be more of a hefsid. Although Lamaisa, the Kafachayim and others point out that it makes no difference nowadays who owns the animal. Halacha is the same halacha. Ve'ein somchin al kula zo ela bebodi kasher v'yarei et Hashem merabim, rabbi rabim. So, only a person who's a kasher, yarei shemayim, with experience, can do such a thing. Okay. Now, let's go to Yirbet. Another interesting. Tov lahashkot habehema samuch lashchita. What should you do right before you shecht the animal? Give it a drink. Right? This is from the Gemara in Beitza. The last Mishnah in Beitza, the last daf in Beitza Mem, it's talking about muksa. It depends if the animal is domestic and it's your responsibility to feed or not feed. And so the Gemara throws out there that go ahead and what's the Mishnah? It says give it to drink. It's talking about are you allowed to feed an animal? So you're only allowed to feed an animal if you own it and you're responsible to feed it, to water and food, because it creates a muksa problem. Okay, but then the Gemara there says, basically ask, why is it bringing this up? And the Gemara over there says that sircha mashcha. Therefore, the Gemara says, give it something. The Gemara or the Mishnah wants to teach you something. Agav is talking about water. Didn't have to mention water. Could just talk about feeding. To teach you that when you shecht an animal, you should give it water to drink beforehand. Why? So many of us are more familiar with. Right. So the Rashi and the Ran say it's easy to take off the skin, the hide from the muscle, from the animal. Right. But what does the Rambam say? What does the Rif say? And what is the Shulchan Aruch saying? Totally different perish. Sircha, if it has sirchos in the lung, nothing to do with the hide, the skin. It's only talking, when it says sircha, it's talking about sirchos, adhesions in the lung. And it's mentioned here also in the Kobo that there are some that are very thin and easy to remove and some that are thick. And they're attached very well to the lung. So what the water does is it loosens the sirchas that are attached to the lung. So you see over here, again, because there's a misnomer. Many people say chalak means there's no sirchas, or chalak Beit Yosef means there's no sirchas whatsoever. And that's completely false, because the Shulchan Aruch Beit Yosef writes more than once, quotes the Rishonim, but the Shulchan Aruch says himself more than once, there are some sirchas that are 100% kshera, doesn't matter how thick it is. And he also says that you're allowed, that here's an example, where you see that if it's very easy to come off, it's still 100% kshera. There's no inyan to be mahader. You don't see him say anything like that. We had the case of lifting it up very gently. Then we're about to see, you'll see even more in the next se'if. First of all, when you check a lung, you basically do it blindly by sticking in your hand and you feel around. Well, by definition, when you're feeling around, if you have an adhesion that's very loosely stuck to the lung, it's going to come off with your hand just as you're checking carefully. So it's not correct for anyone to say that the chalak Beit Yosef means there's no sirchas. So that's a little bit of a misnomer. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, Yod Gimel, I think we're at.
So basically, it's an Eitz Tova to minimize shilas.
I don't know. Let's see Yod Gimel. Yesh mi she'omer she'abodik yachnis yado bebehema bizrizut belo rifyon yadayim. Then he says, and there's even some who say that you're allowed to put your hand in when you do bedikas, right? The bedikat panim. You put your hand in somewhat quickly and not too gently, and by doing so, im nitparka shum sircha. If any of the sirchas get ripped or fall apart, kishamachnis habodik yado. So, and if they, so then what do? Motzi hareya lachutz. So now you pull out the lung and you check it. Ubotka. Im yisircha yimatzi rosha bereya o bedofan. V'im lav rira hi. So if it's still attached to the lung or to the rib cage or wherever it's attached to, so then we say it's a tough one and you broke it. V'im lav rira, but otherwise we call it just rira or mucus, whatever you want to, however you want to translate. Ukshera, and it's 100% kshera. Ve'en lahakel b'kach el behemat Yisrael, you should only be makel if it belongs to a Jew. Otherwise, put your hands in softly. Ve'en somchin al kula zo'ela bebodei kasher ve'yerei teshem me'arabim. And you could only be somch on this if it's a yerei shemayim, and he's careful. Hefsed meruba. Now, the Marashal and all the Achronim, they're very much against the Skula, and they say clearly in all the poskim, it says, Belashon the Rashal, it's in the Taz, if you want to see, Shiachnis Yado Benachat. That's what's done nowadays. You only put your hand in very gently and carefully, because you want to find all the Sirchas, hopefully there are none, or you identify them, and then you can make your decision afterwards, what's the Halacha. If it's a trefa kshera. But we don't just stick our hand in recklessly. Okay, so that's important. Okay. Now, interesting. Let's start with the Rama. Okay. I did not read. Fine. Let's start with the Rama. The Rama says, Haga, V'yesh matirin. Now this is going to be the introduction to what some places call stam kosher. Stam kosher, just the word kosher, without the words chalak. Chalak means glatt or smooth. It means the same thing. Some people make slight different connotations. And what gets a little bit confusing is when you're buying something that says glatt or chalak, So it could be referring just to the lungs, or it could be referring to the whole animal. Right now we're focused on lungs, but don't forget there's a whole animal with other organs. So as far as shopping is concerned, or labeling, it could be a little bit misleading. Okay. V'yesh matirin. Now, the Rama quotes a minhag of being very mekel with these sirchas. Okay, so you have a real sircha that's attached from one end to another that wouldn't make it a trefa. So what happens? Some people are matir lemashmesh besirchat ulemaech bahem veomrim shesircha hem shesircha im yemaech adam ba kol hayom lo tenatek. So there's a minhag rampant in Europe where they would take a sircha and rub it really hard with their fingers and make it so that it dissolved or ripped with their fingers, because they felt any not a battery. Okay. So as far as doing the checking, so they would basically rip it with their fingers by rubbing it or crushing it hard, because they would say is the only time if it would come apart with their fingers, that's called a rear. Anything that's called a sircha lehalacha, that turns it into a trefa, it would have to be that even if you were to rub it all day long, it would still stay attached and it wouldn't break apart. So any place you can just dissolve it with your fingers, by rubbing it or squashing it, they would totally in lahakel, v'armim she'en a sircha, el a rear be'alma. It's not a sircha, it's a rear. Now this is a tremendous kula. Kavar nagu kol b'nei medinos elu. Every place that we know of in Europe were make like this. V'ein limchot b'yadam, and one should not speak out against them. Me'achar she'esh lehem ma she'esmochu. They have what to rely on.
By rubbing it,
it breaks, or you can pull it off.
And then you examine the lung underneath.
And then there's nothing to do but to blow it up, according to this, but it depends if you just break it apart in the middle or if you have to break it apart at the base of the lung. Okay, but so different minhagim, what was done exactly.
So the question is, what are they benefiting by doing this? What's the benefit?
Either they so number one, even if it's there, it's not called a sircha. You can call it a sircha tuluya, but basically they're just calling it rear. It's not called a sircha by definition, it's just rear. Right? It's the same thing if you look at it. It's scar tissue, membrane, whatever you want to call it, but fibrous tissue, but halachically they call it rear. And rear is 100% mutar l'kola deos. Doesn't turn it into a trefa. A hole doesn't cause a rear. A rear doesn't cause a hole. A sircha does. And so that's the question.
There's a hole there that's sealed up.
Exactly. Umikom makom sarich liot habodik. But you still have to be a Yarei Shemayim who does it. Again, go figure out what this is exactly. You have to do it, you have to crush it gently, but not with tremendous strength. But some are machmer not to do this by the varda, right? That small intermediate lobe. Im nisrecha l'makom acher, if it goes, the sircha continues to somewhere else. V'kol makom shetisrach trefa. By a varda, if it goes anywhere, it's a trefa. V'yesh mekomot shenagu l'hakel gam bazeh. And some are makel even with this. V'li nira kisvar harishona. Now, I hold like the first rishona. Shelo l'maech v'varda, you should not. And you shouldn't do this with any one of the sirchos that are shelo kesidron. In other words, the Rama is telling you, I hold of glat Beit Yosef, right? Whatever that is. We'll discuss that a little bit more, but we're already trying to understand. We're already getting to understand. Shelo kesidron mi'achar shesircha shelo kesidron trefa. If it's shelo kesidron or the varda, it's a trefa. Muskar b'Talmud, and that's what's mentioned in the Talmud. Ve'ein chiluk alav. And there's no distinction, right? In Chazal, you don't see any kind of this distinction. It depends how hard you rub it. The Rashba, I don't know if I'll read it inside, but you can look at it in the Gra, or it's quoted a little bit in the Shach or the Tur, Beit Yosef. He's like, we never heard of such distinctions, that you can, some things you do b'mayach a little bit, a lot, you're going to end up, he says, at the end of the day, you're going to end up with there's no sircha trefa except for leather straps. And that's ridiculous. Okay, because that's at some point, you know, to pull the wagons. He says, the maisa, that's the only thing that's going to be left that's trefa according to what's going on. So anyways, let's keep reading inside the Rama. Veli nira kisvar rishona shalom machva. I read this. Vein chiluk alav. Ein li smocha divrei mekilin binyan amiyoch v'amishmushim. One should definitely not be so mechanis. And generally all the achronim are very much against it. In general. Some say, well, that's the minhag, and we'll go with it. Or mutav yushogegim. Okay. Aval minhag beirenu lamashmei shulamaech bechol asirchot. But the minhag is to be mekel on all the sirchas. Ve'en chiluk ve'en sircha lesircha. We don't make any distinctions. Ve'nachon lachol shamashe katafti. And one should be careful to do what I say, to be machmer. Im lo behefsin maruba, but if a hefsin is maruba, it's another story. Od nagu birenu lahatrif kol sirchos gedim utlaim v'agalim harachim. But at least here, but the minhag, even though we said it to be makil by all the sirchos, we are machmer when it comes to basically kids and young lambs. So here the Bach says less than a year, or maybe younger, as long as it's still nursing. Okay? In other words, we're more machmir with the little animals, because for them to get all these sirchos is less common, unless it's a real hole. So we're more machmir with them, or it's harder to check.
He's saying it's because if you do meal,
it falls apart easier. Right. So that's also, because it's so easy for it to fall apart, there's no way to do this. And if you do it, it's meaningless. Okay, so we don't do it with the young kids. At least they have to be at least a year older and not yonkim. The minhag is, you definitely call that a trefa. Kies, right, this is by veal, I believe. So all these things, it has to be definitely much more glat. He says, because it says beferish his own words, that if you're going to touch it, it's going to fall apart. And even if it is coming from a hole. Okay, let's see. What else do I want to say real quick? You know what? I'm going to talk a little bit more about today. But let me just keep reading, and maybe we'll do that more next time. I want to just read a little bit more. Yudalid. Bodek. No, you know what? We'll stop here. I just want to digress a drop about what's going on. So we said, Lamaisa, the Kafachayim as well, and many of the poskim point out that, and this is what's often done by the Shechtin houses, that whenever you see the word chalak, there are sirchas. But what do? They gently, I don't know, rub it very gently or massage it. It's good to keep it moist, it helps. And you play with it or roll it or you peel it very, very gently. Any sircha that peels off very gently without ripping and without pulling on the lung itself. So you're able just to lift it off. Again, it might stuck a little bit, but only a little bit. But it's so little that it doesn't pull and yank on the lung. And if you're able to do that, then they call that chalak. There is some discussion among Sephardic poskim, what exactly is the dat of Shulchan Aruch, but it's 100% clear that the Shulchan Aruch himself holds that it doesn't have to be completely smooth, that there are areas where it's mutter, and again, in general, the Shlacht houses, they don't mechalik generally where the sircha is. They want to make sure, because they're machmer for the Ramah, and therefore, even between the chituchim, even between the lobes, they check them. And let's see here, so I'll just point out what's the percentage of glot. So many of us are here that you have up to 95% can have sirchas. Again, it does depend if you're in Israel, America, South America, Europe, wherever it is, the numbers are going to be different. But let's just say you're going to get, it's very common in places, that you're going to get up to 95% are going to have sirchas, right? But in Eretz Yisrael, I was told, you get 20-30% are going to come out as being chalak, glat kosher. So how is that possible? It has to be the same number. So in other words, you'll have less than 5% where you open up the lung and there's no sirchas at all. And so I know that Rabben David tries to make his private label and just pull from those. That's not practical for the masses, and that's not what's done, and that's not what's need to be done, but that's what he does. So, but anyways, because you're checking, again, not every sircha is a sircha that makes it a trefa, and again, like we just described, what they end up doing is they end up pulling away all the adhesions in sirchas that are probably, that we just call rear, that perhaps lakuli alma. So then that's how you, you get that. You know what? I think. Fine. Next time we'll talk about, I guess, how do we have milk? That's going to come up more, but it's really related to this, and it'll add a little bit to this sugya. If most animals, if you're only getting 20-30% that are kosher, how can you have, that means 70-80% are trefas. So how can we have milk, and how does that relate to other meat that's just called kosher?